Appropriators in the House and Senate are filling in the budget lines underneath the top lines in the bipartisan budget agreement that President Obama signed this week. That deal matters to contractors for at least three reasons. Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners and writing about three of those reasons in the Week Ahead newsletter today. The first one's more money. Everybody loves more money, don't they, Larry? I guess except the budget hawks in Congress that want the budget to go down, down, down.
Except the budget hawks, Francis, that's exactly right. But generally, people like more money. Even some people in Congress like more money, depending on where it's spent. For example, national defense, defense readiness. We recently saw the House and Senate Armed Services Committees try to significantly increase readiness dollars. So it really kind of depends on where the money goes to. But the budget deal agreed to last week provides $24 to $32 billion more in discretionary spending, depending on who's doing the scoring, than was available last year. That includes some pretty specific opportunities for Social Security, IT, and opportunities at the Department of Energy. So this is good news. That's reason number one why the budget deal is good news for contractors. More money that will be going into IT and other priority projects.
The $400 million for Social Security IT is one that you cite in the newsletter. You write about consulting opportunities at the Department of Energy. Jason Miller reported on the issues with FITARA implementation grades, and we saw very careful reporting that he did that members of Congress say this is not accusatory. We're not coming down on anybody because of the grades that they received for FITARA. But is it possible, Larry, that those grades could drive some spending and opportunities in the coming rest of this fiscal year, at least?
Well, they certainly will, Francis. And one of the things I thought was most interesting is kind of what people in the IT industry would consider an oldie but a goodie, and that's data center consolidation. It's not a new idea. Data center consolidation has been a top five federal IT priority for most of the last several years, but it's kind of faded lately in favor of things like cyber and cloud. The FITARA hearing yesterday, though, brought back data center consolidation clearly to center stage. It's something that Chairman Chaffetz and others on the committee feel represents low-hanging fruit in terms of ways that federal agencies can meet some of their FITARA obligations and better manage their IT assets, lowering their overhead and costs as they go along. So I think you're going to definitely see some IT spending redirected as a result of the FITARA report card, data center consolidation first up.
The second item that you write about, why contractors should care about the budget deal, Larry, is no sequestration for now. And for now, that means the rest of fiscal 16 and all of fiscal 2017. And that's got to be just a huge sigh of relief for both people on the contractor side and on the government side.
Well, that's exactly right. This is something that, regardless whether you're industry or government, you now have a better opportunity to plan. If you're a federal agency, you know that you can plan better with more reliability because you're going to have a certain level of funding provided that Congress actually appropriates the money. But once the money is appropriated, it's not going to be sequestered away from you for the next 2 years. That's tremendously helpful for people who want to plan. And it's tremendously helpful for contractors who know that their customers are going to be able to talk to them about more strategic level engagements.
The third item you write about is no debt ceiling hassle. And this is another one that is good to not have to deal with until well into calendar 2017, Larry.
It is. And, you know, the debt ceiling concern that myself and many other people in the contracting community had, Francis, was it's a disruption. Look, if Congress had failed to act on the debt ceiling, it may not have had an immediate impact on government spending the way a sequestration would have, but it still would take agency executives, agency personnel away from meeting their core missions while they were busy trying to figure out ways that they would fiscally stay afloat. How much of their cash would they lose to be reprogrammed to paying debt service? Now we don't have to worry about that. Similarly, if you were a contractor, Most contractors rely on lines of credit. Without a debt ceiling increase, the interest rates on those lines of credit would have certainly been affected, having gone up, making it more expensive for companies to borrow money. So this is a good news situation for, again, both agencies and contractors. We don't have to deal with the debt ceiling now for probably close to 2 years.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners and writes the Week Ahead newsletter. We're still running on a CR, and you point that out, and that's not necessarily a good thing. It's fine, I guess, unless something doesn't happen before December 11th, but that's what we will keep our eye on as far as funding goes. Now, also in the newsletter this week, you write, senior leaders say innovate, experience says something else. What else is experience saying about innovation, Larry?
Well, I think experience, Francis, says if you're innovating, you're innovating around the edges of government acquisition, around the edges of government IT. Experience from the line level managers says loud and clear, we don't have the top cover we need from our agency senior executives. So if we're going to try, we'd better succeed. If we fail, David Bray, the CIO of FCC, said, if we fail more than twice, some of us may be out of a job. So it's maybe innovation with an asterisk. And as far as federal planning goes, you know, you have senior leaders in OMB and elsewhere saying we want agencies to innovate, and they do, but they want agencies to maybe innovate the way OMB would like to see them innovate. So there's a disconnect between the senior leadership and the line level managers. The senior leaders are saying, we want you to try things, and managers are saying, well, yeah, if I try them but they don't succeed, then it could be my head on the chopping block.
You write, to underscore this point, it's notable one agency was recently cited as being very innovative for spending 15% of its IT budget on new solutions.
Right. I mean, 15% isn't exactly a number that would get rave reviews in the private sector. If you're a company that said, you know, we spent 15% of our dollars on innovative solutions, that wouldn't necessarily register in the stock price or in the media. And yet it's newsworthy in federal agencies because traditionally 90% or more of IT dollars go to maintaining existing systems. So by lowering the amount of money going to existing systems to 85% and doing 15% of the spend in an innovative manner, that gets an award or at least gets some recognition. And what we really ought to be doing if we're serious about innovation is we ought to be setting aside at least 25% of our budget to try innovative things, with realization that not all of them are going to succeed, but you even learn from the things that don't work, Francis. And you don't want to not try things just because there's a fear of not getting support. There's a fear of getting hauled up in front of Congress to explain yourself. So we need to, if we're going to do innovation, we need to do it more than halfway.
You understand that's a tall order when some agencies spend 80% of their IT budget just on maintenance and operations of legacy systems, Larry.
It's a very tall order indeed, but it's one where I think we need to seriously consider how we're going to improve government acquisition. Government acquisition and IT management both. I was in a meeting yesterday, for example, where people said that, look, we're still being asked for innovative ideas. These were people in government agencies. We're still being asked for innovative ideas, even at this late date in an administration. So that indicates there's a lot of drive at a certain level for it. But if it's going to be successful, it's something that everybody needs to embrace.
Larry, thanks as always. It's great to talk to you. And thanks for the newsletter.
All right. Thank you, Francis.